Will a bigger AT&T mean better cell phone service?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. AT&T wants to swallow up T-Mobile. The $39 billion deal would create the largest cell phone company in the U.S. Marketplace's David Gura has been following the news this morning and joins us live. Good morning, David.
Hey, Adrienne.
So why is AT&T making this deal now?
Well, AT&T would become the largest wireless provider in the U.S. with 130 million customers. Obviously, that's a lot of phone bills. I talked to Christopher King. He follows the wireless industry for Stifel Nicolaus. He says there are a lot of reasons why this deal makes sense.
They can, you know, consolidate everything from cell towers to spectrum to handset purchases to, you know, sales and, you know, marketing staffs.
And Adrienne, that means there could be significant cost savings to AT&T and potentially to you and me.
And that's what I'm interested in. I'm a former AT&T customer, switched to T-Mobile. What's it going to mean for me and other T-Mobile customers out there?
Well, you'd have more choices. I know you've got a Droid. You could trade that in for an iPhone if you wanted to. And AT&T says its new network would be a lot bigger and faster. But there are critics who say, do we really want more consolidation? There are people who associate AT&T with slow service and dropped calls. And they're worried that if the market continues to shrink, say if Verizon Wireless decided to buy Sprint Nextel, there'd be even less competition, and that could make service more expensive. Now, AT&T needs approval from the Justice Department and the Federal Communications Commission, and as every analyst I talked to said, Adrienne, those are two big hurdles it'll have to overcome.
David Gura in Washington. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Our sister show, the Marketplace Tech Report, has more on the merger at marketplace.org. The price of oil has jumped more than $2 a barrel since air and missile strikes began in Libya over the weekend. As Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London, fears are growing that the outage of Libyan oil may last longer than expected.
Since the revolt against the Libyan regime broke out, the country's oil production has dwindled to less than a quarter of its usual output. Traders believe it could now fall further and even stop completely. The air and missile strikes have raised two concerns, that oil installations may be damaged by accident, or that Gaddafi could retaliate by blowing up foreign-owned oil facilities. Simon Wardell is an energy analyst with IHS Global Insight. He says traders are now bracing for worse news.
Certainly a few months of disruption was priced in. Now I think people are looking a little bit beyond that and perhaps even as long as a year. I think markets are just reacting to what they see as the potential risks of a much longer disruption.
Nevertheless, the oil cartel OPEC says that other producers like Saudi Arabia and Kuwait are pumping easily enough extra crude to make up for the shortfall from Libya. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Global markets are up on news over the weekend that Japan made some progress in its battle to control radiation leaks. But earlier today, workers had to be evacuated from a nuclear plant after smoke was spotted coming from one of their reactors. Markets in Japan are closed today for a public holiday. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow rose 83 points to close at 11,858.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best. The Knowledge Effect.
This week marks 1 year since President Obama signed the health care reform law. The law requires everyone to have insurance and sets up exchanges where individuals can compare policies. But there's a big group of immigrants living in this country who won't be a part of the plan. And as Jennifer Collins reports, that has some states thinking about reforming reform.
There are about 11 million undocumented immigrants in this country, and this is how most of them get their health care.
Maria Morales.
At a crowded free clinic or a local emergency room. Most illegal immigrants don't have health insurance. Those who do typically buy it on the individual market, where premiums can be sky high. Under reform, the new exchanges will make individual policies more affordable, but the federal law prohibits illegal immigrants from using the exchanges. Sonal Ambegaokar is a health policy attorney with the National Immigration Law Center.
So we will still have the issue of certain uninsured people going to the emergency room as their primary source of care and having that cost shifted to all of us.
In California, that cost is already more than $1 billion a year. Mike O'Day is a health policy associate at Children Now. He says California set up its insurance exchange to require insurers that want to participate to also create alternatives for illegal immigrants and others who can't use the exchange.
It calls for these outside options by requiring insurance companies to offer similar plans outside of the exchange at the same price.
O'Day says other states are looking at adopting California's model.
Some people call it the residual markets, the shadow exchange.
He says bringing in immigrants who tend to be young and healthy would help insurers offset the cost of the sicker people that they would be required to take on. Arturo Vargas Bustamante researches immigrant health care at UCLA.
It's definitely controversial because it's like an indirect way of providing coverage to this population.
But Vargas Bustamante says the real question is whether undocumented immigrants will be able to afford the policies, whether they're in the shadows or not. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, the Chicago Tribune reports there's a trade show battle going on this month. Two beauty industry trade shows are facing off for Midwest beauty convention supremacy. America's Beauty Show has been around for 87 years and attracts nearly 40,000 hairstylists. It's being challenged by the fresher-faced International Salon and Spa Expo. Perhaps a reality show is in order. You could call it Beauty Gets Ugly. And maybe it'd have some sort of competition involving fake eyelashes, sky-high updos, and elaborate manicures. I'd watch. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire was 100 years ago. And a lot of what was said afterward back then is being said again today.
The chant that went up after this tragedy was, who will protect the working girl? And now we hear people from all sides saying, well, who will protect working people?
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Lessons from History next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.